Scripture we turn to is our psalm for today, and it's right in front of you, though you might not have known it. There's a Bible in front of you if you like to read along, right about in the middle of your Bible. Psalm 84. We sang snatches of it earlier. Marvelous psalm. Kind of ironic the way we sang it before, because we were singing, "Let us go rejoicing to the house of the Lord." But the man who wrote this psalm couldn't do that. He wanted to do that, but he couldn't get there. We can read the beginning and get the flavor. Psalm 84. For the director of music, so this is supposed to be sung in church, supposed to be sung by believers in God's house. According to the Giddith, we don't know what that means. Was that a melody? Was that the way they sang in Gath? Or was that the way they sang when they pressed the olives or the grapes? We don't know. But one of the sons of Korah, a Jewish man, wrote this psalm. He begins, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." And this and all we read here from Psalm 84, this is God's word. "Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Say it with me, would you? Amen. His name, Tony. Her name, Jeanette. Some of you know exactly who I'm speaking of because Tony's funeral was Friday. They were getting ready for church last Sunday morning, and then some of you who are football fans will know who I mean. Then the offensive line coach for the Minnesota Vikings suddenly died. He was getting ready for church. He wanted to go to God's house. Why bring him up? Partly because pretty big news. Partly because it might help you get the flavor of what's going on in this psalm. A man wanted to go to God's house. A lot of people get excited about a lot of other things. All sorts of interests and duties we have in this world. Football is just one on a list of 1,000 where people, I was a little bit too busy to go to church today. You're here, so I'm not going to tell you about how important it is to come to church. But Psalm 84, what an amazing, beautiful, helpful part of God's word for each of us who already is here in God's house today, because it's the loveliest longing, you could say, and yet it's kind of the looniest longing too. This man who writes about how longed for, how loved, literally, how loved is your dwelling place. It wasn't that the place was so beautiful, it was that he wanted to get there so much, probably. It was beautiful. But that's the first loony thing about his longing, this man who writes this psalm. We don't know his name, we don't know why he can't get to church. Do know that even if he could have gotten there, he couldn't have gone inside. You're inside, of course. He couldn't go in. Yet his soul yearned, he says, "My soul yearns, even faints for the courts of the Lord." If I could just get outside the building in Jerusalem, it'd be so cool. Why was he like a man who, again, those of you who've lived a few years, you know what this is like. "I just wish I could retire from this job. This is so frustrating. This is such hard work. I just wish I could get some rest." You've yearned, you've fainted for that kind of feeling, haven't you? "I'm so exhausted," or "I'm so hungry. I'm famished." That's how he feels, this man, about getting to Jerusalem and getting to God's court. "My soul yearns, it faints for the courts of my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." I've been talking to God about it out loud. Why can't he get to church? "Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself." Kind of a loony wish, a loony longing, you might say. He wishes he were a bird, even a baby bird. He doesn't have to be a big bird, just a little bird, a sparrow, a swallow. Why? Because even one of each has found a nest for herself, a home where she may have her young. Even little baby birds. The least important things, the easily overlooked things, they get a place by God's. How did they get a place by God's altar? Well, again, it wasn't inside, it was outside. And they were big tall windows for the inside building, the place where only the priest could go in, and evidently a swallow or a sparrow could build a nest up there. I wish I were a bird, this unnamed Jewish man says. I wish I could fly there. A place near your altar, God. Oh, Lord Almighty. And that's the second time he said it, which is another reason why I hope you don't mind me calling this not only the loveliest longing, but the looniest longing. If God is Almighty, if four times in the psalm he gets called the Lord Almighty, the Lord who can do anything, the Lord literally of armies, the Lord who rules over the heavenly armies, who rules over all the angels, the Lord who rules over the heavenly armies in terms of all the planets and all the stars, if he made all those and he controls everything, what can't he do? And yet, right now, we can't get this guy to church, it seems. Oh, Lord, I just wish I had a place by your altar, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising. People lived in church? Not really, no more than today. And yet, there's a few people here at Trinity who spend so much time at Trinity, you might say, they just live there. They're there all the time. It's good. They have it good, the psalm writer says. I wish I could be like that. So was he in the military? Maybe. I'll skip ahead. Hear my prayer, he says. Lord God Almighty. Third time he says it. Lord of armies, hear my prayer. Listen to me, O God of Jacob. Look on our shield, God. Look with favor on your anointed one. So he's praying for the king. And it would make sense, since he's mentioned three times that God is the king of all the angels, of all the armies, of all the heavenly beings, then maybe the thing is that he's in the army himself, or there's some kind of military conflict, we don't know. It's preventing him from getting to Jerusalem. Please bless our king, God, he says, so that there's victory, so that I can go back to church. Why does he want to get back to church? Better is one day in your courts, he says, than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Even they have the lowliest job. Every time I read this, I think of my wife's grandpa. He was the janitor at the church for at least 20 years. I never knew him at that point. My wife was young. She'd help out her grandpa, at the church. Then Harold got to be 70, and they said, you've got to retire, Harold. You're getting too old. So they replaced him with two guys, and he went to work at the synagogue. Which is just a favorite story of mine, because he was determined. He wasn't going to quit just because they told him he had to. When he died, he was a very weak man. He had Parkinson's. He could barely get his chin up. The last times I saw him, we would read to him Bible stories from a children's Bible storybook and show him the pictures. Here's your Jesus, Harold. What happened? He got really weak, and when he died, what did the pastor preach on? I'll never forget it. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Just to be outside your church, God. If I could just be a janitor, well, that's what Harold was. He was a janitor at God's church. If I could just be the lowliest guy, a doorkeeper in the house of my God, I'd rather do that than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Why? For the Lord God is sun and shield. And it's so cool that God gave us a sunny day today. Because you know what the sun does. It gives us energy. It gives us hope. It does everything. It supplies everything we need, essentially, the way it makes the plants grow, and then, therefore, the animals, and even the energy underground originally came from the sun, right? The Lord God is sun and shield. Do you believe that? No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless, the psalm writer says. You believe that? Especially when you're a long ways maybe from someone you love and you can't get there? Or who knows what the trouble is for you today? The Lord is sun. He always supplies everything I need, and he shields. He always protects me from everything bad. Really. Again, the loveliest and the looniest longing, because so many times in our lives we're going to say, it does not look like God is supplying everything I need. I really need this and I don't have it. And I really wish I could be protected from this, but this is going on and it's bad. And I don't know how to get rid of it. And yet the psalm writer, he's drawing a picture, isn't he? He's He's not only talking about himself. One of the reasons this is one of the loveliest of the Psalms is because it helps us see our own journey, the place we can't get to right now that we really want to be. And it's more than a location, it's the foundation. He himself says it. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for, and he doesn't say for church, he doesn't say for the buildings. He says, my heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Not even for God, the living God. Again, Mr. Anonymous Jewish person, maybe you're on the other side of the Jordan River. Can't you just go visit somebody else's temple? Can't you go to visit Chemosh or Molech or Baal or one of the other gods of one of the other neighboring nations? And he says, I got to get to Jerusalem. The living God lives there. He's the only one. He's the God who has life and is life and gives life. And, well, why can't you just go to a church somewhere over there? This is very strange for us. But they had a thing where three times a year, God had told them, you go to Jerusalem, you go to church there. Just three times a year. Christmas, Easter, and Thanksgiving. No, those are our big three. They had Passover, and 7 weeks later they had Pentecost, and then they had a festival in the fall with huts and leafy branches. Sometimes we call it tabernacles. And the psalm writer's thinking about when he used to go on that kind of pilgrimage, and that's his picture for you and me and journeying toward God. And every bump in the road, and every time you said, Lord God, I'm crying out. Help. He says it this way, back to verse 5. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. Where's the valley of Baca? Is that some valley near Jerusalem? We don't know where he means. Again, makes this kind of a loony travelogue. It sounds like the Hebrew word for weeping. So let's put it in modern terms. As they go through Weeping Willow Valley, where in relation to Nicollet, Minnesota, is Weeping Willow Valley? And the answer is, I don't know of a specific valley near here called Weeping Willow Valley. But if I told you about it, you could picture the last bad thing you were going through where you were just crying. Or maybe it's right now. Or maybe it's coming this week. And God's people pass through the Valley of Baca, but they make it a place of, and then there's another Hebrew kind of pun, it's the place of pools, it's the place of blessings. The two words sound the same. Really? God actually blesses us through our trials and sorrows all the time. That's his basic plan. So they go from strength to strength, till each appears before God in Zion. I did this Thursday night. Melba told me this morning she was worried about me. On Thursday, I was telling everybody in her service, I'm going to drive to Kansas. That's what I did. I got a little south of Omaha before I got tired. Drove next couple hours the next morning, and then my daughter and I drove back. She was in an internship. But you know how it started. I was all wound up on Thursday night, church. And then I was really wound up to go see my daughter, and so I went from strength to strength. My strength dipped quite a bit as the night got longer and I drove further. But when I got close to campus the next morning, it increased. Maybe a better picture is the Olympics that I saw a few years ago. I think it was 2008. Did any of you follow the Olympics? In 2008, the Chinese hosted the Olympics, I'm pretty sure. I remember distinctly the bird's nest, and one of my favorite pictures of this amazing stadium that the Chinese had was the marathon. The guy was running. I don't know which country he was from. It doesn't really matter. The African fellow that won the race, he dusts the field. He's leading every other world-class athlete running the marathon. And as he gets close, this guy running down the streets, he sees his destination. And then he gets a little bit more spring in his step, and he's up on the balls of his feet, and he runs a little faster because he knows he's just got to get to that stadium and run around the track once, and he wins the gold medal. And that's the picture here in verse 7. They go from strength to strength. Pilgrims start out with a deep desire. I'm going to journey. I am so glad to take off. And then the journey gets tiring. But when you get close, when you can see Jerusalem up on the hill, you can see the temple. They go from strength to strength. I read this verse. I don't know how many Christians in our congregation last week who were very weak. People in the hospital. People lying flat on their backs. very little physical strength, but it was neat to see over and over the strength that God is building. People going from strength to strength. Different kind of strength God can build. A yearning. A fainting even. I wish I could be with God. Which is way different than someone wagging his finger at somebody else and saying, you should go to church more. Do you see? Which is why this is the loveliest, as well as the looniest of longings, this I want to get to Jerusalem sound. Because of how it applies today. We have churches all over. We would never get stuck on the other side of a river or on the other side of a battle or something and not be able to get to Jerusalem. We can turn on the internet or the television and find good preaching. We can hear it on the radio. I went to see a lady again this week who listens to 5 or 6 church services every week. Even though she's confined to a room in New Orleans. It's really cool. So what does this psalm say to us? 3 main things. This psalm about the loveliest and looniest of longings, since we have a hard time imagining one church where you can't go inside. What we can picture, I trust, is that God's got us on a pilgrimage, that we get together here for funerals sometimes, and then this is a pretty hard place to visit, but it's a good place too, and we all sing, I'm but a stranger here, heaven is my home. And earth's but a desert drear sometimes, you know? It's like a valley of tears. It's like Weeping Willow Valley. But God letting us go through times when we're fainting. God's turning, oddly enough, the very valley into a valley with pools and springs and stuff. What do we mean? Well, I'm going to go on vacation tomorrow morning. It makes me think of not only the fact that I'm really eager to see my wife, that when I take off tomorrow morning, I'll probably be all wound up, and then by the middle of the flight, I'll probably be zonked out. But when I see the airport, it's just like verse 7. They go from strength to strength. But true story, I know a pastor who got back from vacation one summer, and this is secondhand, but I don't doubt it. Somebody said, hey, how was your vacation? And he said, well, it was good until I got back here. Shoot. That's not exactly longing for God's house and for God, is it? Not a true story. Fib. Second story, I like this one too. Do you know the one about the lady who's trying to wake up her son for church? She said, you got to get up. It's time for church. She said, I'm not going to church today. She said, you got to get up for church. She said, I'm not going to church today. She said, why aren't you going to church? She said, I'll give you 2 reasons. And he's still trying to wipe the sleep out of his eyes. He says, they don't like me there. And I don't like them. She said, I'll give you 3 reasons why you have to go to church. It's the Lord's Day. You're 45 years old and you're the pastor of the church. And I tell you that one partly so you smile and partly because every believer, pastors too, have this guilt. One of the very first things this psalm does for us is it exposes our guilt. Of not really wanting to be with the living God. Of not, I got a lot of other priorities in this world. The Vikings are on, or whatever. I don't know if Tony Sperano was longing to go to God's house, but he was getting ready. God's exposes our guilt, but it also it explores our God. It shows us the God of all the armies. Let's say it again, 4 times, bracketing some, very first and very last verse. How loved is your dwelling place, Lord of armies. Oh, Lord of armies, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Instead of in himself, I trust in myself to be good enough to get into God's house. I'll never make it. We don't need even all the commandments about honoring my father and my mother and not murdering and helping everybody. And just the 3rd commandment that says we should always want to go to church, to be with God, to hear God's word, to regard it as holy. That pins me to the wall. But God, the God of armies, blessed is the man who trusts in him. Blessed is the woman too. He sends his son to die for me. Jesus eagerly desires to eat Passover with his disciples. He doesn't just have to go to church. He wants to go to church. He does it all the time. He does that for you. He dies for you. Eagerly wanting to be with his Father. That's all so that we read this psalm in a whole new light. We say, when God is making it hard for me, it's because he's showing me how this pilgrimage has got to work. I got to long more and more for his house. Help me, Lord. Help. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself. Could I be a bird? He says, no. You got to be you. But it's hard to be me. It's getting harder. Yeah, I know. This psalm exposes my guilt and it explores my God. The Lord of all the armies. The Lord's in charge of everything. Every last thing. And it explains my good. What's good for me? Well, having fun and everything's easy and nice. No. Actually, tears might be good. But I'll tell you this, no good thing does the Lord withhold from those whose walk is blameless. So you got to be perfect and then God blesses you? No. There's a completeness to the life of a believer who says, I just want to be with God. Lead me the next step down the journey. God, I just want to be with you. Show me. Teach me. Make me hungry and thirsty like people who needed bread on a hillside once a long time ago when Jesus was there. Then they wanted Jesus to be king and to take care of everything.